Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, it is good to be back. It has been a minute. Ooh, we're not centered. Hold on. There we go. We got to be centered. It is a really special Sunday. I know the petting zoo is like my favorite Sunday. Last year, it rained. I think it was last year or the year before. We usually do it about once a year. And we had to bring the petting zoo inside. And I have video footage of a cow trying to walk into the next gen room, and this poor cow, and the owner was really good with it. No cows were harmed, you know, like at the end of those movies, everyone was safe, but this poor cow, the floor was so slippery, and the farmer was like holding the cow, and I was like, everyone is clearly welcome at Thrive. Like, I don't know another church has a cow walking through the foyer. Hopefully that doesn't happen again, I will say, but it was a very funny, memorable Sunday. So thank God it's good weather. Good weather. No cows in the church today. So I encourage you, we'll end here probably about 11:30, and then the petting zoo should be up until at least 12 o'clock, so us adults can go have fun too. So go make some friends, enjoy the weather, don't get too sunburned, and the food ministry, the food center, will be giving food out at 12 o'clock as well. All right. Well, it is my first time preaching since having a daughter. I hear there's such a thing as a mom brain. So can everyone give a little extra grace to me? We will see how this goes. I had two jokes, but I'm going to skip my jokes because his jokes were way better. It has been the longest time I have missed church in person in my life. I think even during COVID, maybe. I don't know, because we did church outside and stuff. And I am so grateful to be back. I want to take a moment. I want to honor our leadership team that really stepped up while I wasn't able to be here on Sundays or preaching. So if we can give it up to Pastor Caleb and Natalie, Monica and Jason, Pat, Tom and Elizabeth, and everybody else. I probably just missed someone with my mom brain. So everybody else that stepped up in any way, thank you. We are a church that is led by team. Amen. And so it's been really special. My maternity leave ended a few weeks back, actually, but I haven't been able to preach yet. I'm still not full back to full time. So meeting like one-on-one may not be able to happen much right now, but you can still text me. We can still talk. And if I can, I will. But I wanted to just pause and take a moment to look back over the last 6 months or so of the year, since this is kind of a new chapter for me as a pastor. So I want to overview the first six or seven, I don't know how many we have here, message series. And if this is your first time here, it'll kind of give you an orient of where we've been. So the two words for this year, for our vision, were hunger and one other word that I'll speak about in just a second. So in January, we talked about just Jesus. Jesus chose to come to earth right in the middle of chaos, war, oppression, sickness, suffering, and give life. And he chooses to show up that same way every day in our lives. Amen? That was a good month. In February, we did Hungry Homes, and we talked about how our prayer for our church is that our church would be known as a place of hunger for God in the region. Like, what do they do at Thrive? They're really hungry for God. Amen? Because God answers hunger. In March, we did Everyday Hunger. What does a lifestyle of hunger for God look like practical? How many know we like to get practical here, right? And the gospel is not dead religion routine, but it's transformational. And so we unpacked six hunger habits for daily life. Then we hit Resurrection Hunters for Easter and went right into New Normal. And the new normal was about finding hope, peace, and strength in Jesus right where you are, whether you're at home, work, or in the middle of a tough season, and how the old normal ended at the empty tomb and resurrection changes the rules. How many are grateful for that? Amen? And then I had a baby. I wasn't supposed to have the baby till we got through Influencers, the next message series. But how many know when you preach on new normal, God takes you seriously, right? So I bowed out 5 weeks early, and again, thank you for your grace, because obviously we were not planning that. And then Pastor Caleb took over. Thank God for Pastor Caleb. And have you enjoyed his messages this summer? Haven't they been good? He'll be back next week, so don't mix next Sunday with him. But he launched Influencers, how to walk confidently in the authority of Jesus wherever and however God has given you influence. So that word authority in the Great Commission also means influence. And so where you have influence to shine Jesus. And then we're coming out of Everyday Heroes. Pastor Pat just preached last Sunday. Can we give it up for her? That was a powerful message on unexpected heroes. And ordinary life doesn't disqualify you. It's where heroes are made. And she especially brought up, I think, four or five really incredible unexpected heroes. And so all of these messages, if you're like, ooh, that one I need right now in my life, they're all on podcast, on our Sermon of the Week at Thrive Church NY, all right? On Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. But the second half of this year, we're going to continue with hunger, but we're going to go to our second word, which is influence. So can you all say influence? And we're going to be unpacking that more. But one of our church advisors once asked me a few years ago, and it never left me. He said, if your church disappeared, would your town know? Think about that for a second. So if your church disappeared, if this disappeared, would they notice? And I pray the answer is yes, but we want that to be such a loud megaphone yes, whether it's meeting spiritual needs or practical needs, right? So on this second half of the year, we're going to press into that. What does that look like? What does that look like for each of us? Because we are the church. How many know if you disappeared, we would notice, right? And so we're going to press into that this for the next 6 months and probably for a while, because that's a good question just to meditate on. But we're going to launch today with our new message series for August, and it is called Staycation. Who wants to go on vacation right now, right? Wouldn't it be nice? I tell you what, if there isn't a beach, it's not a vacation. That's where I'm at. I love beaches, actual beaches with like ocean, to clarify, right? We have some little beaches around here, but how many know that if you have a baby, maternity leave is not a staycation? Can we just have a moment of silence, right? I just got to put that out there. I was going to say, because, you know, I've been on a total staycation with Phoebe, right, the last 10 weeks. Clearly, that's what I've been, so much sleep. Poor Brian got 3 hours last night so I could sleep. He was very kind. But how many know that, I keep saying how many know, so that's one mom brain. I'm picking up on it. It's all right. Just stay with me here this morning. You don't need a plane or train ticket to experience a new perspective or reset in God. I know sometimes I've been like, oh, if I could just get that break, then I would be able to receive the rest I need or the refreshment. And we put a qualifier on when the only qualifier is the cross and the resurrection. Amen? How many know God is not waiting for us to go on vacation to receive rest? Vacation is great. And he made Sabbath, so there's nothing wrong with that, right? But the only qualifier for us receiving God's rest is receiving the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Isn't that good news? And so the definition of a staycation is a vacation spent in one's home country rather than abroad. Have you ever been on a staycation? I'll never forget a staycation my family and I took. We really wanted to go on vacation, but we didn't have the resources to make it happen. And so whether it was schedule or money or whatever. And so we thought, you know what? We're going to take the next, I don't know, maybe it was 3 days, 4 days, and we're just going to stay at home. And I tell you what, we got, I know this, the next thing doesn't work with staycation, but we got so much done, right? I was going to say that and thought, wait a minute, that's not a staycation, but we did. We got to relax, we got to have fun, and we got so much done. Because when people think you're away, not that we lied, but we're like, you know, don't contact us for 3 days. It's just like peace settles, right? Hopefully. And so a staycation can be really powerful. Our key verse is Philippians 3:20. This will be our verse for the month. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven as we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another version says, but we are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's interesting is Paul was writing this to Philippi or Philippi. I've actually been there. I was going to show a picture, but I didn't get it together. I'll post it on Facebook on our page this week. Our page puts out encouragement and ways that you can evangelize to your friends on Facebook, so I highly recommend following it. But I got to go to Philippi probably about 7 years ago now. It's just a bunch of ruins in Greece. But what's interesting is Philippi was a Roman plant. It was a Roman colony. And if you lived in Philippi, you got all the benefits of being a Roman citizen without living in Rome. Isn't that interesting? Which was really positive, because that meant that you actually got exempt from taxes and many other issues. And if you got in trouble, you were brought before the Roman government, not another government, which was much better. And you also just couldn't be randomly arrested. I was like, apparently you could be randomly arrested in Philippi if you weren't, or outside of Philippi. Isn't that interesting? That's not great, obviously. So it was as if the people in Philippi were on a Roman staycation, right? All the benefits of Rome, but where they were. So when Paul was writing, our citizenship is in heaven, but we're on earth, it was really easy for the people of Philippi to realize, oh, it's like my citizenship is in Rome, but I live in Philippi. You following? So it was very easy for them to wrap their mind around it. They knew that they didn't have to go to Rome to get Roman's benefits. And you don't have to die to get heaven's benefits or Jesus' authority in your life. You can have a heavenly staycation in your identity in Christ on earth. Amen? You following? Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. That's Psalms 84:10. And I did a little fun personal translation, which is God's staycation is better than a human's vacation. God's staycation is better than a human's vacation or vacation. Apparently it's vacation this month, right? I'd rather stay one moment in God's presence than a thousand elsewhere. Amen? I know we're extra joy-filled this morning, which is fantastic, but it's equally as holy to say this, because not everyone has this opportunity. This is a real gift from God, to be in his presence through receiving him as our Savior. Amen? A staycation recognizes the value here, not just over there somewhere else. It says, no, I'm going to stay here. I can rest here. A staycation owns that rest can happen now, not just one day in the perfect environment. Unless you have a baby. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not sure that translates, all right? A staycation gives you fresh eyes for where you live, even when you've been there your whole life. Have you ever pretended to be on vacation, like in Ithaca or Dryden or wherever y'all are from, because we come from all over the area? It's fun. It's like, ooh, I've never noticed that waterfall or that. Do you know we have 100 waterfalls in 10 miles? That's amazing. I know most of us maybe don't like living here. I know maybe you do, but I saw a thread on Facebook this week. This woman was like, should I move to Ithaca from New York City? There were like 30 comments that were like, no, under no circumstances. And I was like, the pastor in me rose up. I was like, no, they're talking about my town. I was like, we thriving homes here. And then I was like, how do I say that in a comment? And I was like, you know what? I don't. I'm getting off Facebook. I'm not even entering the comment thread. We are leaving the discussion. But there are 100 waterfalls. That's pretty unusual. So when you're complaining about everything else, just go see a waterfall, because God put the waterfall there. Humans put the rest of the stuff we don't like, right? God put what we do like here. That's why I'm here. For those of us who really want to go on a vacation and can't, a staycation is really important, because a vacation is also important. According to various articles, a vacation can reduce stress, improve mood, increase productivity, produce more motivation, promote stability, give quality of time with loved ones, broaden your perspective, and cause avoidance for burnout. How many would like to sign up for some of that right now? Doesn't that sound good? But when I really thought about it, all these benefits sound strangely similar to living in our identity in Christ, according to the Bible, right? Rest in God, Matthew 11, a joy-filled life. Joy is different than happiness, all right? So a joy-filled life, Psalm 16, stamina, Isaiah 40, loving your neighbor, Mark 12, fresh perspective, Isaiah 43, and refreshment, Psalm 62. Isn't that cool? So for those of us who are like, well, I can't receive that because I can't afford that, or I don't have enough time for that, just pause at the cross, because there's more than enough of Jesus for everything that you need right now. Amen? So we're going to dive into the story of the prodigal son this morning. If you've got your Bibles, which I hope you do, turn to Luke 15. We're just going to anchor there. I'm not going to read the whole section, but please read it on your own. And the Bible study for the Thrive at Home handout that you hopefully got, or if you want to download that afterwards at thriveny.org/connect, it's all about the prodigal story this week, all right, every day. So get into it and encounter Jesus in the Word of God this week on your own. But I'm just going to do a quick review. When I thought about it, the beginning of the prodigal son story kind of sounds like a bad vacation. Going to a distant place, living wild, and going into debt. And I think about that for a second, right? I realize, wait a second. Thank God that's not where the story ends, right? So let's do a quick review. This is the story of a father and two sons, right? One demands his inheritance early and goes wild with it and loses everything, and then returns. I'm going to know repent means to turn. So he turns back to his father, and his father meets him in the road. How many know grace is faster than sin, right? The father was running. The father was right there. He didn't have to even get all the way home. Some of us are trying to get all the way home, and God says, I'll meet you where you are. Amen? So the father meets him, and then the other son gets really jealous and doesn't like the whole reconciliation and redemption of his brother. And the story illustrates a few crucial truths about a staycation. So let's just unpack these. As we're unpacking these two truths, I want you to think about it for a second. Maybe you're living in the father's house in most of your areas, but today I want to invite you to take inventory in your relationships, your friendships, your parenting, marriage, and your physical and mental health, in your habits, your finances, any area in your life. Are you eating where the pigs are, or are you in the Father's house? And we're going to look at what that really means. We're going to get real. So the first truth that we need to own if we're going to be on a staycation in the Father's house is I am secure in Christ and not abandoned. Can we just say, I am secure in Christ? If you're not in Christ, you're not secure. And we can waste our whole life trying to get secure. Oh, is this safe or is that safe? Or, well, if Christ isn't there, it probably isn't safe. But the good news is if you're there, Jesus is with you. So it's safe, right? But secure in Christ. It's really important those two go together. God isn't up in heaven and left us behind by mistake. So if you got the church text, I'm the one that sends that out. It's a group text, but if you respond, that's me. I get to text with you. And if you don't get those, let us know in the back corner there today and we can sign you up. But I asked, what has sold 65 million copies and isn't true for us today? And that is, and I'm not talking about eschatology or any weird end time things here. I'm doing a play on words here. But it's the series Left Behind. Okay? It's one of the most successful Christian fiction series of all time, and I wonder if it's partially true from just the name alone. Because how many know, at least my greatest fear of all time is to be left behind by God? How many, like, no, right? No, thank you. And so whatever the series is about, I'm not talking about that this morning. But the name alone is terrifying, right? And 65 million copies got sold, right? But God has not left us behind. But we often live like it. He didn't leave us. The Holy Spirit is here with us right now. Amen. God is with us. And we aren't behind. But we're partnered with him in daily life, according to Hebrews 3. We're actually partnered with Jesus. We don't always live like we're staying on purpose. But you can't have a staycation if you aren't staying on purpose. Here's another thought, like the Home Alone movies. A lot of us live like we're in the Home Alone, but how many know a thriving home is in a home alone? I'm going to confess to you, I'm using this metaphor, but I have not seen Home Alone. Do not fire me as a pastor, all right? But I know the general plot, right? The kid gets left behind, right? Your home, you on earth, is not God leaving you behind. Jesus didn't take a ticket out and be like, good luck, I'm leaving you behind. Or he didn't say, oh, I got to get back to heaven. I forgot I left you there. Neither is true. He said, hey, you are here on purpose for a purpose. But how often do we live like we're left behind? Think about that, right? I read an article this week, USA Today wrote about a family in Spain who reportedly left their child at the airport so they could board a flight. Like, come on, guys, right? They got charged with child abandonment. I was going to leave the story there, but Brian almost broke out in tears when he was reading my notes this week because he's a dad heart right now. And he's like, but what happened to the kid? And I was like, the kid's fine. The kid's fine. They stopped the airplane. Everyone's good, all right? Probably need some counseling and some Jesus, right? But the story stood out to me, and I really feel like that's often how we live. It's like, oh, God's up there, and he left me behind. He left me behind in this home. He left me behind with this husband or this wife or this friend or this boss or this whatever it is. He left me behind with this mess, but he didn't leave you behind, right? He is with you on purpose, for a purpose. Whether you view yourself on a staycation in Father's house or home alone or left behind or whatever you want to call it, will determine how you live out the prayer on earth as it is in heaven, right? We can read it as on earth wishing I was in heaven, which is good. You know, it's okay to do that, but there comes a point where you get victim to that. On earth left behind by someone in heaven, on earth being punished by someone in heaven, that's not the gospel. On earth, forgotten by heaven. This sounds like a really bad book series. I'm just going to put that out there. Cancel that series. Or on earth, as it is, thank you, as it is in heaven. The worship leader got it. That's good. We're safe. As it is in heaven, right? So let's read the prodigal story here. We're going to start in verse 27. We're just going to kind of drop around in it. It's a pretty familiar story. But if you're new to Jesus, I encourage you to check this story out. It is a very powerful one. This is Jesus telling a story as an example to people. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. This is at the end of the story. But he became angry. This is the brother that was in the father's house the whole time. But the brother became angry and was not willing to go in. And the father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me. All that I have is yours. All that is mine is yours. This is what's interesting. I realized from this that the voice of abandonment doesn't mean you were actually abandoned. The voice of being left behind or being rejected or not being secure doesn't mean you actually aren't. The older son acted as if his father had abandoned him at the end of the story, when the reality was everything the father had was his. This means the enemy doesn't actually have to get God to abandon you, because he can't. He only has to get you to try to believe that God has abandoned you, right? The enemy doesn't have to get God to abandon you because he can't. He'll try to get you to believe that God has abandoned you. I've been in that place. And when you come out of that place, you feel kind of dumb because you're like, of course God didn't abandon me. But in the middle of the valley, it's more real than the oxygen you're breathing sometimes, right? What we feel, think, or hear does not change the truth that God loves us. We either get our theology from our past experiences or we get our theology from the Word of God. And I've been in that place where I'm living day to day and I'm thinking, what am I believing? My belief statement, my theology is sounding a lot more like my past than the cross and the resurrection and the truth of Jesus, right? The older son didn't believe he was secure even though he was in his father's house. How many know it doesn't get any more secure than being in the father's house? But it left him feeling abandoned because he believed the lie that he was, that he didn't have access to what the Father had for him. Familiarity does not equal relationship or security. Walking in God's truth does. It's just like what I said during offering when we did the salvation invitation to the little kids, and I was like, maybe you've been coming to church your whole life, all 4 years of it, right? With your family. But today you can decide for yourself. Maybe that's true for some of us this morning. Familiarity does not equal relationship. God's truth does. I've never been closer to Brian than when we're both walking in God's truth together in our marriage. We can get close other ways, but I would rather be across the world from him, but both anchored in God's truth, because you can't get closer. Right? I think we're mostly adults in here, minus a baby, but I've heard the saying, you know, prayer is more intimate than sex. Right? Because it's not just about familiarity. You can live in the Father's house and you can miss everything because you're just overly familiar, right? So don't let your circumstances or the world around you convince you that God has abandoned you. Nothing is stronger than the cross. Amen? God has not abandoned us on earth when he took the ticket out to get to heaven, right? He doesn't have child abandonment charges. But if we're honest, a lot of us live our lives like we believe it. If you're hearing the voice that says, I have to fend for myself, it's better to do it on my own. Survival is the only life goal. I'm not worth God's abundant love. I'm safer alone and can't trust anyone, especially God. I have to focus on me, 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 because I don't have enough for anyone else. I am forgotten, I am unseen, and I am not worth love. Those are some heavy statements. We're not staying there, but it's good to speak them out loud because some of us have been getting haunted by them and thinking we're the only ones. But that is not the voice of God. That is not the voice of the Father. And you can even come to church, be in the Father's house, be familiar with it all. But are you receiving God's truth that you are secure in Christ? Because that is where the freedom is, right? 2 Corinthians 4:9, we are hunted down but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down but we are not destroyed. Hebrews 13, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And then a lot of people on the cross will quote Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? But if you look at what he's saying, it's a quote from Psalm 22. And you have to continue that psalm to know that it doesn't end there. It says in verse, I think it's 24, it says, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. God has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. You might be in a place where you are feeling abandoned this morning, and I don't make light of that. But in that place, God is there. Emmanuel, God with us. You always have 100% access to Father God's love and security through Jesus. What would it look like to live in the Father's house in your friendships, in your marriage, in your parenting, whatever area of life you have there, in your health choices, in your financial decisions, in your emotional capacity, in your mental capacity, in your schedules, priorities? What does it look like to live in the Father's house? How do you know if you're living in the Father's house or not? Whether you're hearing those lies that I said earlier or not in that area. And if you are, it's an invitation, not condemnation, but an invitation to walk with Jesus through his healing, right? Maybe that looks like just yourself walking through that. Maybe that looks like doing that with somebody. But God died on that cross and rose so we could live in the Father's house. We could have a staycation with him. Right? So where do you need God's truth to make you secure? Hope that's not mine. Is that mine? No, all right. We got five more minutes. Everyone ready for five more minutes? All right, here we go. Point number two. Don't worry, my point number two is always short. The second truth is God is enough. How many have heard the lie that God's not enough, right? This is like my number one lie that slaps me on the face. I'm not enough, you're not enough, there's not enough, there's not enough time, there's not enough money, there's not enough people, there's not enough whatever it is, there's not enough. And then what I realized one day was every time I say there's not enough, or I'm not enough, or you're not enough, I'm saying God's not enough. And that shut me up real fast, because that's not good, right, to say that. And so in order to walk in a staycation, in order to stay present in God, in the Father's house, we need to realize that God is enough. Amen? Every time I say I'm not enough, it's like I'm going to go get drunk on something else, right? Man, there isn't enough. When you go get drunk on something, or you go do something like that, it's usually because it's like, oh, I can't cope, right? I know there are different reasons, but it's like there's not enough peace. There's not enough of this. I got to go fill up on something, right? Whatever you're filling up on, whatever addiction it is. Sometimes it's social media. Other times it's some hard stuff, right? And so I just want to read a little bit more here. It says, and he said, this is the beginning. I did it backwards. That's my mom brain. We're going to start at the beginning now with the prodigal story. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Believing lack will always lead to drunkenness, filling up on some substance to make up for reality, to numb out what you're feeling, right? But Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit. Amen? So as I just close here, I want to loop all the way back to the second word for the year, which was influence. He's preaching next Sunday. I'm so glad he got the word. All right. It's influence. How many know driving under the influence can kill? I know that personally in my family. Driving under the influence can kill. But how many know also driving under the wrong influence in your marriage, in your workplace, in your daily life can kill? What influences you determines whether you want to escape like the prodigal son or stay present on purpose in the Father's house. When we get drunk on, filled up on, determines whether we want to escape or stay on purpose. You can be on a vacation and influenced by so much stress at home that it would be better if you hadn't left. Have you ever made that horrible, horrible mistake? My last family vacation, we went to Florida, and let me tell you, there were a couple days there where it was so stressful because all I was thinking about was here. This was years and years ago. And I might as well have just saved the airfare and stayed here and gotten something done, right? I was so influenced by it. And we can be so influenced by everything around us that we don't even realize that we have access to the Father's house and everything the Father has for us right now. What you are influenced by determines whether you want to stay, like a staycation, or escape, right? So why don't you stand on your feet? The prodigal son got drunk. He filled up on greed, on the tyranny of the urgent. He wanted his inheritance right now. He was filled up on lust and lack. He was eating with pigs. He wanted what wasn't his. And then the other brother got filled up on jealousy, insecurity, pride, comparison, and overfamiliarity. I guarantee for every person here, one of those God wants to speak to you about. I know he's speaking to me about several of those. I only preach from what God's doing on my heart and working on me with. But the enemy is not intimidated by an exhausted church or a church that is constantly thinking that it isn't secure or God is not enough. What would it look like for you to be more influenced by the more than enough of Holy Spirit? Because that's what a staycation is. More than enough love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I think you get where I'm getting Galatians 5. Sounds like a vacation, right? If I'm going to Florida and there's no joy, there's no love, there's no peace, there's no patience, there's no kindness, keep the plane ticket. I'd rather be here with God. Amen? Some of us are getting offered, and I don't mean this in reality, but it's like we've been tempted to take a route or turn left or turn right, and God's saying, hey, wait a second, turn back to me, stay in the Father's house in every area of your life. So this month, I want to invite you, let's get real. We believe in being real in this church, and we believe in encountering a real God. You have to have both, right? So this month is a month of transformation, and then next month will be a really awesome, powerful time on family and what that looks like. But today, as I close, I want to bless you with a blessing here. I'm going to read the more than enoughs, the fruit of the Spirit, the more than enoughs. And I want to invite you just to close your eyes for a moment. This isn't weird, I promise. I don't like weird church either. But a way of showing that you're receiving something, like if I throw a football, you catch it, right? So a way of receiving is just to open up your hands and just receive. So I just encourage you, you can do it right now, or as I'm reading, if one of those is like, you know what, that's what I need right now, I invite you to open up your hands and to receive. And then our altar team will be up here at the front afterwards. You can go to the petting zoo and receive some joy. Sometimes it's practical, amen? Some of us just need to have fun. That's a staycation too. But some of us need some deep heart work in order to walk this out. And I know I do, and I have, and I will till I get to heaven. And so the altar team is here to minister to you if you want personal prayer as well. So this morning, I bless you with the more than enough of God's love. I bless you with the more than enough of joy. I bless you with the more than enough of God's peace. I bless you with the more than enough of God's patience. I bless you with the more than enough of Jesus's kindness. I bless you with the more than enough of the Father's goodness. I bless you with the more than enough of God's faithfulness. I bless you with the more than enough of Holy Spirit's gentleness. And I bless you with the more than enough of self-control and strength of spirit this morning. Jesus, we just dedicate August to you as a staycation. Whether some of us were able to get away or not this summer, we thank you that right here, right now, we can live in the Father's house. And God, any time where we have been overly familiar with what you have and what you died to give us, we just say we are so sorry. We receive you, God, as our Savior, as our Father, and we return to you, whether it's for the 100th time or the first time this morning. And Jesus, if we don't know you as our personal Savior, right now I just invite anybody to just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name.